Hi, for those of you that don't know me, my name's Steve Clark. I'm a retired vicar, or similar anyway, but I've worked for 15 years in Christian healing centres where we've been praying for people. And I wanted to say something about healing today and to just establish it as just a normal part of gospel. So, yes, we're having a healing service, but Sunday by Sunday, here in the prayer corner, there'll be trained prayer ministers there to pray for people, because it's normal. And that's really the topic, that it's a normal gospel, and part of that normal gospel is healing. God's touch on our lives. It might be very normal, but it's not always simple, as this indicates. Healing service cancelled. Pastor is out sick. Well, I know this one. It happens. And how do you manage that sort of thing? Well, if you go to the New Testament, you'll find that there's a moment where we hear that a bloke called Trophimus, you've all heard of him, haven't you? Trophimus was left by Paul as Paul journeyed on to another center. He was left behind because he was sick. Now, I strongly suspect that Paul was quite good at praying for people, but we have there in the New Testament this guy, Trophimus, who wasn't healed when they prayed for him. So there's all sorts of things that we struggle with a little bit. So it's not simple, but it is normal, and it's normal to pray for people. And truthfully, I pray for people because I have seen the most amazing things happen. And even when the amazing doesn't happen, it seems that people are transformed at some level through praying. So I'm not going to give up, and neither will our prayer team, and neither need any of you, because it's not specialist stuff, this. We can all pray for sick friends and neighbours. How about this one then? This is slightly different. You may have experienced this, and I'm really sorry if you have. There's this pastor with his Bible saying, read this twice and call me in the morning, as if a Bible verse or verses act like a sort of spiritual elastoplast that you put over the top of what's hurting really, really much. That is so sad and nothing to do with healing. I like the picture. Great big rainbow, the biggest I've ever seen. Because we have a gospel of hope to proclaim. And it's not just hope up in our heads or pie in the sky when we die. It's hope that touches our lives and our pain. And this picture, it's a wooden sculpture about that size. It's a picture of a broken world. Well, we all know about that at the moment, don't we? So the healing of Christ, the saving power of Christ, doesn't touch just individuals, but communities as well. We can pray for them. And you've got cut through this broken world an image of a cross that's sort of half a figure and it's dancing. And I just love that image of Jesus dancing through his broken world, bringing salvation healing to us and to our communities and to our country. And don't we need that? And it was in fact inspired by this verse. Now, it's taken from the Message translation. All the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people and things, animals and atoms, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of his death, his blood that poured down from the cross. That's good news. It's life-transforming good news. And this isn't just a New Testament thing. Go right the way back to the book of Exodus, very close to the beginning of the Bible, and you have Jesus described in this term, Jehovah Rapha. One of his first names was Jehovah Rapha, which is the God who heals. So this isn't just something that we've come up with as an idea. It's just normal. It's part of the nature of God and his relationship with us. Poverty, where does that come? Well, the Bible reading we had just now, the Gospel reading, the second one, spoke about Jesus speaking good news, bringing good news to the poor. That counts us out, doesn't it? Because we're not. Or are we? Yes, we know about poverty like this, the person on the street and destitute. But what about poverty like this? Loads of money. Well, Matthew, the tax collector in the New Testament, had loads of money. But he was also very, very poor. And so Jesus comes to him and speaks good news to this impoverished man who is without a friend in the world, not surprisingly. And he says, come, follow me. It's good news for those who are poverty-stricken. And all of us can be in some way. Maybe it's through illness that robs us of so much of life. So, you know, somebody with a disability like being blind. But hey, it's not just physical stuff. We're all a bit like that sometimes, aren't we? Where everything just seems an utter mess and we can't see our way through. The good news of Jesus is for us. And it's not just head stuff. This is about the practical stuff of life, bringing it to Jesus, who is our salvation healer. The words salvation and healing are two words that fit together and overlap, as we'll explore in a moment. Another word in that passage, well, let's just run through the other ones. Poverty, you see, is when we've run out of our own resources, when we at last acknowledge we can't do this. At that moment, God will jump in because he's so generous. Poverty is about when we've got nowhere to turn. While we're still saying, hey, I can do this, God will say, of course you can, carry on. It's the moment when we acknowledge that we cannot manage any longer. We acknowledge our poverty, and he is good news to the poor. This whole passage is a bit like a manifesto that Jesus speaks at the start of his ministry. And the thing about this manifesto is you see it practically worked out in people's lives, right the way through the gospel, every time somebody is touched and transformed by Jesus. You know, we're not really interested in letters that haven't got a signature, are we? But this one is a letter that has a signature that has been written in blood at the cross. Salvation healing is God demonstrating love to us. Good news for the poor. Take a moment. Maybe it helps to close your eyes. Is there a place within you or someone that you love or know about where there is utter poverty? Run out of resources. We're going to have an opportunity to bring that to Jesus in a few minutes' time. So just hold it for the moment. Here's another key word from that gospel passage, and that's freedom. Freedom for captives. Yeah, that makes sense to us as well. And I love the meaning of the word salvation. It means to release into spacious places. That makes sense to all of us, doesn't it? Healing is so wide and also so deep. It's about life transformation of individuals and communities. And this is why Jesus comes. I like to think in terms of dis-ease, a lack of ease. And that can be for us in all sorts of areas. You know, a spiritual dis-ease, that we call it sin. All the stuff that separates us from Father God. And Jesus comes to rip that away and open up the conversation again with Father God. Disease can come at a physical level. And Jesus touches those things too. It can come at an emotional level. And sometimes that takes a while to work through. But I have seen such release in people's lives as prayer happens, and prayer happens, and prayer happens. People's lives transformed. It's not just theory, folks. Our God, the God of our salvation, wants his love to work out practically in our lives. And of course, relationally, relationships get messed up as well. And yes, Jesus can touch those places, touch those relationships, touch memories from the past that have never really been dealt with. I mentioned when I was doing that little slot a few minutes ago with the children, how I had been terrified of this walk upstairs in the dark house. I was left with a real fear of the dark, which years later, after I became a Christian, I actually thought, this is daft. I'll pray about it. And God lifted it off me. And that's the practicality of the gospel that we have to proclaim. Healing is like salvation with skin on. It's the real deal. And the amplified version of this passage, the last few lines says, it's about to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down with calamity. It's very practical stuff that Jesus is talking about. And if we go to another translation, the Message, it says, this is God's year to act. Don't we get fed up of lots of theory? Well, our God loves us at a very practical level and wants to touch lives. I started off with the notion that it's normal, and it really is a normal part of gospel and Christian living. So it started off with Jesus transforming lives, and he said to his disciples, go and preach good news about the kingdom of God come and heal the sick. And so it progresses to the 12, and then of course it progressed to the 72. He gave them the same instruction, and he prayed to those 72, pray to the Father that he may send workers into the harvest field, for the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. 72 wasn't enough, and that progression just keeps going to this present day, with God continuing to touch and heal sick people, sick situations. So that brings us up to the present day, and I'm going to ask Melissa now to come and speak about her experience of praying for people who are sick at some level. Thank you, Melissa.
So for about a year, as I was reading the scripture, God continued to highlight for me all the healings in the Bible. And I started to ask God, if you're the same today as you were back then, is healing still possible today? I was figuring out that I had a head knowledge, but not a heart knowledge. And I also was thinking that I had nothing to offer within the realm of healing. Well, shortly after, I attended a prayer training, and it was within our curriculum that we would practice what we had learned on new staff. So before we were going to pray for new staff, we prayed before we prayed. And I was particularly focused on John 9, which is the healing of the man born blind. And I continued to reread the dialogue between Jesus and the disciples. The dialogue says this. The disciples said, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents?" And Jesus' response was, "Neither. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed." So as we started to pray for new staff, a young gal came in, and she sat down and she told me that she had woken up with a really sore shoulder. She said she didn't know where the pain had come from, but she was about to go to the ER. But before she left, a friend of hers had mentioned, "You should go get prayer." So she did. As she was telling me her story, God immediately reminded me of John 9, for the works of God to be displayed. We attempted to pray for some other things in case her shoulder pain was related to something else, but really I think I was just stalling. With hesitation, I put my hand on her shoulder and I said, "I've never done this before, but in the name of Jesus, shoulder be healed." As we sat there in awkward silence with my hand on her shoulder, she then looked at me and said, "Now what?" I said, "Maybe try moving it around." So as she did reluctantly, and as she slowly started to move it more and more, she realized that she had no more pain, and she realized that she did not need a trip to the emergency room. And I realized that God was using me as an ordinary person to do the extraordinary, and that I had something to offer in the realm of healing. And since then, God has continued to reveal to me that his healing power, not just physical healing, is actually quite normal today.
So let's get practical. This isn't another theory lesson. It's about practicalities. And I'd just like you to take a few moments, just quietly, coming back to that place where darkness comes either through illness or sadness, or where a relationship is messed up. And we're going to invite Jesus to bring his light into that dark place. And healing is not about clever prayers by clever people. It's about the power of God, the love of God, and the glory of God. So here's what we're going to do. I think when you came in, everybody was given a candle. Is that right? Oh, what a relief. Things are working well. Thank you. An invitation to everybody to come forward with their candle and light their candle and place it into one of the sand trays here as your prayer, inviting the light of Jesus into that place for yourself or for somebody else. It also says in the letter of James, if any of you is sick, call together the elders of the church. Well, in this case, it's our prayer ministry team that are trained and are here every Sunday. But if you would like further prayer with a couple of people, then after you've placed your candle at the front, just move to the side over there or the side over here, and somebody will be available to pray with you. And there's no time restriction here, because when we get to the end of the service time, then Chris will just announce the last hymn and so forth. No problem. One further thing, sometimes we just like to be quiet on our own with something like this. So if you want to do that, just walk straight up past the cross there, and there's pews there where you can sit, and just be quiet for a few moments with that thought about Jesus bringing light into darkness. Does that sound all right? So we need somebody to have a candle up the front here rather than at the back. So is there a little table or something we could have just about there? Chris is going to be the lamp stand. Is that not appropriate? And bring it over here. So if you'd like to make your way forward with your own individual prayer, and there will be prayer ministers at either side as well.